Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Running. Welcome, it's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I'm happy to take your phone calls. I'll do so in this segment, but just if I can have a point of order, it's my show, I guess I get to do this. 20 years ago, I always actually note it as July 11th because that's actually when we push the button, but it didn't come out behind the private firewall until July 12th, 2004. The website redstate.org at the time, we finally went to .com, came online. It was the longest job I ever held until this one. I was the very first employee. I'm often cited as the founder of Red State. I am not. Josh Trevino, Ben Dominich, and Mike Krampaski came up with the idea, and super friend number four, who remains anonymous. But they put me in charge of it very early on because they needed a free lawyer, particularly one with election law experience, and I was one, and I hated being a lawyer. To this day, I am one of the very few people in the country to have gone from a blog to mainstream media. There have been a lot of people in mainstream media who became bloggers, and I actually think I'm one of the only ones, if not the only one, who went the other way. It's been a wild ride. So I was a lawyer in Macon, Georgia, and around May of 2004, Josh Trevino, who was running a website, a highly regarded blog at the time called Tacitus, put out a call saying they were starting a group blog, right-wing, center-right group blog, who wanted in. I applied, went up to Washington, D.C. With my buddy Thomas Crown, who's a lawyer north of Atlanta now. He was down in Florida at the time. And we had drinks, discovered Yingling for the first time. I thought it was an Asian beer at first. Didn't realize it was from Pennsylvania. That was all Mike Krampaski would drink. And we started Red State July 12th, 2004. There were really five big voices at the time: Josh, Mike, Ben, me, Thomas Crown. By October, Rush Limbaugh was regularly quoting us. That's when I got to know Rush. Was in 2004, writing Red State. Just after Labor Day, he put us in his show notes and the must-read sites of the day, and our traffic exploded. And so there were five of us flying by the seat of our pants, none of us really technologically savvy, and the site was getting so much traffic it kept crashing, and this random reader of the site, his name was Clayton Wager, he reached out. We didn't know whether he was on the right or on the left. We had no idea. He's like, I promise I can help you get online and keep you online. And he was a tech genius, still is, and got us online, actually sneaked into his old employer that will go nameless and put us on one of his old employer's servers, unbeknownst to them, and kept us going through the election. And then we had to start doing stuff. And I was convinced to leave my job and go full-time with Red State as employee number one, became the editor-in-chief of the site, and held that job until I retired. I resigned. Contrary to Donald Trump at the time saying I was fired like a dog. No, by the end of 2015, I had done everything I thought I could do with the site, and radio clearly seemed to be my career. I was by then guest hosting for Rush Limbaugh, and the site was being purchased by Salem Media from Eagle Publishing. And while there were commitments and discussions about me doing radio there, I didn't really want to. I liked where I was at Cox Media Group and WSB in Atlanta, and I wanted to stay with them. I didn't want to jump ship and go to Salem. And it just became very clear to me it was time to leave. So I left at the end of December 2015. What a remarkable ride, though, and what a remarkable website. One of the original bloggers there, Chip Roy, is now in Congress. Victoria Coates became a national security advisor to Donald Trump. My friend Russ Vogt became the Office of Management and Budget Director and is now often spoken of as Trump's potential chief of staff in a next term. In 2009, we had our first gathering. I started. And our speakers that first year were Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Liz Cheney, Pat Toomey, Michael Williams from Texas, Nikki Haley, who was a state representative in South Carolina. The next year we did it in South Carolina after Haley had been elected. Rick Perry announced his bid for the presidency. It was a remarkable, remarkable website. Still is. Joe Cunningham, great friend there, is now one of the program directors at one of the stations I'm on in Louisiana. It was a fun place with fun people, but I gotta be honest with you. Number one reason I decided that it was time to leave is my career had been growing at Red State. I started at Red State in the November election of 2004. MSNBC was still then pretending to be a bipartisan news site. It wasn't, but they were pretending. And so I got asked to be one of the bloggers to blog the election in 2004. Three progressives and me. One of the progressives involved, by the way, is Matt Stoller, who's now one of the big anti-monopoly writers out there. And that then led to getting noticed by CNN. And in 2009, a lady called me from CNN and said, "You won't remember this, but I was one of the people who helped pick the bloggers in 2004. And now I'm at CNN, having left MSNBC to meet the press as Tim Russert's producer. And now I'm at CNN, and I would love to hire you at CNN. Went to CNN 2009 to 2013, and then left in 2013 to go to Fox, where I was until 2018. And in all of that, in 2011, got parked behind a microphone at WSB in Atlanta, Georgia. And now this job surpasses the length of my job at Red State, all of which surpasses my time as a lawyer. And I would not have the job I have today except for three very dear and wonderful people, Ben Domenech, Josh Trevino, and Mike Krempaski. I would not be where I am today except those three guys had the idea of starting this website, Red State, and then put me in charge of their baby. And I thank them tremendously all the time, and in person and not. I credit them with my career. We knew we hit on something when Rush started talking about us regularly, and really when the Bush White House decided that they needed to set up an account and start responding to the criticisms that all of us were writing about them. I knew that there was something special happening when I got a call out of the blue from a guy named David Almasy, who was working at the White House. Then he was the tech guy at the White House. And he called and he said, Tony Snow would like for you to come meet with him at the White House. And I went up to D.C. and because, you know, Tony Snow was my favorite guest host for Rush back in the day. And I went up to D.C. and I checked into the old executive office building. And they said, "No, sir, you're not at the old executive office building." I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "No, sir, you're in the West Wing." Oh, that was my very first time to go to the White House. I did not meet George Bush that day. I met him later, but I got to meet Tony Snow. and a number of people in the White House. They all knew who I was. Blew my mind. I'm a guy from Macon, Georgia. And here I am, the president of the United States and his team. They know who I am. And that just kind of blew my mind that, wow, we really have done something. And those guys read what I wrote, read what was happening at Red State, set up an account to disagree with us. And then what really, really put us on the map was I had several people inside the White House familiar with the president's thinking on Harriet Myers. And the morning that she was announced, I am patient zero, so to speak. I am the guy who put up the piece and said George W. Bush has just nominated or is about to nominate Harriet Myers for the United States Supreme Court, and y'all all need to know she donated to Al Gore. The site exploded. And thereafter, the rest is history. I mean, the site just took on a life of its own after that. But yeah, I knew that he was going to nominate Harriet Myers and that she was an Al Gore donor. And I knew this all from a source inside the White House who was involved in the vetting of the Supreme Court justices and was furious that Bush decided to go with Harriet Myers and dropped the Oppo research on Harriet Myers in my lap. And the rest is history there. So that's how I got my start in everything, was these three guys, Josh, Mike, and Ben, had the idea for this website. I didn't really want to be a lawyer. I was traveling around the country doing political campaigns and election law from my perch in Macon, Georgia, and they put me in charge of this site. And it was just, what a wild ride. It's been 20 years later, Red State's still around. Not the same as it was. It's more, I guess, Republican now I don't know. It's different now than it was. It's not the same like bootstrap startup falling apart every other day, kick the wheels and give it all she's got, Scotty. But great people there, great sight. There are days I miss being there, but also one of the main reasons I left was because the site became so tied to my name. Whenever anyone wrote anything that anybody disagreed with, I was the guy who got lit up. I remember distinctly the moment I decided it was time for me to go. I was still at CNN. I had moved to Fox. I had moved to Fox by then. It was the end of 2015, and someone at the site wrote something very critical of one of the Fox hosts. And I got called on the carpet by Roger Ailes because of this person, and I had to explain. Look, I don't have editor. I am the editor, but I have no editorial control over what other people write. I'm sorry. Not my fault. They're entitled to their opinion. He was unhappy, and I was like, I should probably stop being dragged into other people's fights, given where my career was headed, in addition to radio and everything else. But anyway, thank you for letting me share. Now, I'll go on and take a time out here to be respectful for you guys' time on hold, and when we come back, I'll start taking your phone calls. It is Open Line Friday, 877-973-7425. And we got much to talk about on the news conspiracy. The New York Times today literally saying the idea that Democrats are trying to oust Joe Biden is a Republican conspiracy. And Axios is reporting Democrats are literally trying to oust Joe Biden. So which is it?
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Welcome. Well, it's that time, friends. The phone lines are open. Open Line Friday, 877-973-7425. Heather has been waiting very patiently. Welcome to the show, Heather. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, Eric. Good to talk to you. And congratulations on the anniversary.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But I have to say, on behalf of the people here in the Metro Atlanta area, glad you decided to stay with WSB and all the other markets.
Me too. Thank you.
So I had a question, and I'm hoping you can provide some insight on this. I know you've been saying that the Democrats are kind of cemented with Biden right now. They don't have much of a choice and are going to have a hard time getting rid of him. But I know that the House had delivered articles of impeachment to the Senate, and Chuck Schumer just kind of ignored them. But if he chose to, could he take those articles of impeachment up again and potentially get rid of Biden that way?
I think that by tossing them as they did, it would have to be renewed.
It was Mayorkas's went to the Senate. Biden's did not go to the Senate. That's what it was.
So Biden's articles of impeachment, I think if I'm reading the headlines right, yes, Mayorkas, his articles went to the Senate. Biden's never have. In fact, the House Republicans haven't voted on Biden's articles of impeachment. In fact, yeah, here's a story. Actually, Heather, perfect timing. This story literally just hit the wire. Republicans have chosen not to advance the articles of impeachment against Joe Biden beyond committee. And now there are suggestions Representative Comer overseeing the impeachment of Joe Biden and Jim Jordan of the House Judiciary Committee will silence the further investigation while the Democrats remain in disarray, lest they unite Democrats against them. So, this is happening now. Axios is actually reporting that House Republicans have decided to quietly suspend all hearings related to anything on impeachment of Joe Biden so the Democrats can just self-immolate.
Okay, I'll just pop my popcorn.
Yes, please do. Heather, thanks very much for the phone call. Y'all, I don't think the Democrats in the Senate would impeach Joe Biden, even if they got him. And this goes into the same problem with the 25th Amendment. The reason the 25th Amendment is not going to happen is because, one, Kamala Harris would have to institute it. And she's not going to, because if she does, do you really think Joe Biden is going to give her the $200 million war chest? And then if she did, you'd have to have the cabinet involved, and then you'd have to have the House and the Senate involved. And do you really think that Democrats in the House and the Senate who have covered for Joe Biden this long want to now say that Joe Biden isn't responsible enough to continue as president, and then Joe Biden gets to challenge it? He gets to challenge it, remember, and you got to have the two-thirds of the House and two-thirds of the Senate say he's not competent. And then Joe Biden still has control of the delegates at the Democratic National Convention. They can't do the 25th Amendment. It would cause so many problems for the Democrats to do the 25th Amendment. It'd cause problems for Kamala Harris. It would cause problems for the Senate Democrats and the House Democrats. It would cause massive problems for the Democratic Convention because Joe Biden, legally, the delegates are still bound to him. So, yeah. Oh, it would be hilarious to watch, but it's not going to happen. As an aside, one of the things I find interesting here is when I say stuff like that, it's not going to happen. There's always somebody there. How can you say it's not going to happen? Because I'm not crazy. Okay. Jim, what was that? I heard you say something. Ah, yes, Eden Pure. Y'all, they sent me a script for Eden Pure, but I don't need the script because I love this product. You can get 3 Eden Pure thunderstorms for less than $200, and you save $200. And let me explain this to you. The Eden Pure thunderstorm generates ozone to wipe out odors. So, I mean, it works dirty diapers, cigarette smoke, cigar smoke, litter boxes, trash cans, wet dog odor, the musty odor. You name it. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm wipes out odors, and you can plug it in with a USB cord. If you have a USB outlet in your car, for example, you can use it, and it wipes them out. You can also plug it directly into the wall. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm, you can get 3 of them for less than $200. You save $200. EdenPureDeals.com is the website. Discount code is ERICK3, ERICK3. ERICK3 is the discount code, no space, the number 3, at EdenPureDeals.com. You get 3 of them for less than $200, and you save $200 at EdenPureDeals.com.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
My fellow Americans, I am delighted to have you with me this Friday. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I've been asked. I will humor you, however, if you get my show notes, you'd see the list. But nonetheless, I will give you the list. These are the people
who we have confirmed. Some of them can't mention. But here is the list I can mention of the people who will be speaking at the gathering, where we take you guys and my online readers and we bring you all together in person. It'll be August 8th, 9th, and 10th in Atlanta, Georgia. Starts the evening of the 8th with an event kicked off by Governor Glenn Youngkin of Virginia, all day on the 9th, all day on the 10th at the Grand Hyatt in Buckhead. Here's the list I can share with you. Vice President Mike Pence, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, Governor Ron DeSantis, Governor Doug Ducey, Governor Brian Kemp, Governor Kevin Stitt, Governor Glenn Youngkin, Georgia Attorney General Chris Carr, Oklahoma State School Superintendent Ryan Walters, former Georgia Senator Kelly Loeffler, Senator Pete Ricketts of Nebraska, Senator Rick Scott of Florida, Congresswoman Kat Kamik of Florida, Congressman Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma, Congressman Rich McCormick of Georgia, Congressman Chip Roy of Texas, Speaker of the House of Georgia John Burns, candidate Dave McCormick running for the Senate in Pennsylvania, candidate Sam Brown of Nevada running for the Senate there, and more. If you would like to come, you can text the word ENGAGE to 33777. And there is a discount code. If you're a young professional and you want to come, the discount code, use YR, just the letters YR. You get a huge discount off the cover price. A person who attended last year said, we need to have more young professionals here. I'll subsidize the ticket. So if you put in YR, you get a big discount. It's August 8th, 9th, and 10th, Atlanta, Georgia. Text the word ENGAGE to 33777. You can still get tickets. Security is making us close it off at the end of the month now because, well, there are some surprises I can't mention. So nonetheless, you can come. Now, the phone number here, 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, Scott, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
Great. What's going on?
Well, I've just got a comment about Joe Biden. I believe he's going to have to be the nominee because you have to find someone willing to replace him. And I was just thinking, you have to go back to Nixon to find someone who lost an election and then was granted an opportunity to run again. And I don't think there's any one of these big names that wants to give their one shot in this last-minute campaign with maybe not the DNC money. And you're already behind.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you say this because this is a point I don't think most people appreciate, Scott. There is some news out today that the Obama people and the Clinton people have been talking. And they're beginning to talk with leaders in Congress trying to find a path forward. Let me just read you some headlines here. I want to read you an aggregate of headlines on the events of last night. This is Domenico Montanaro from NPR. After Biden's debate performance, the presidential race is unchanged. Axios, behind the curtain, committee to unelect the president. Marist, contest for president up for grabs. New York Times, how Biden's stumbles collided with a right-wing conspiracy theory. New York Times, donors said to freeze roughly $90 million as long as Biden stays. Politico, Biden does damage control with House Dems, but not enough. CNN, Obama Pelosi privately expressed concerns over Biden. New York Times, donors to pro-Biden super PAC are said to withhold money. Politico, Biden's presser leaves Democrats in purgatory. Daily Caller, worst case scenario, Biden avoids collapse in gaffe-heavy presser. Politico, it's like being liberated. Republicans bask in the glow of Democrat meltdown. Politico, Trump allies view Biden's press conference as best of both worlds. CBS News, potentially dozens of Democrats expected to call on Biden to step aside. Daily Beast, Joe Biden calls Kamala Harris Vice President Trump at crucial press conference. Axios, Biden poised to face deluge of fresh calls to drop out. Washington Post, Biden heads to Michigan for rally after high-stakes conference. ABC News, Washington White House guests recount concerns after seeing Biden weeks before debate. Punchbowl News, House GOP sits on Biden impeachment report as Democrats implode. The Atlantic, is Kamala Harris ready for Trump? Wall Street Journal, is Kamala Harris stronger than Trump? New York Times, Is Kamala Harris able to do this? Here's the problem. This is a real problem. This isn't me speculating. This is knowing how things work and talking to Democrats. Democrats want Joe Biden to get out of the race. Democrats don't know how to get Joe Biden out of the race because only Joe Biden can get Joe Biden out of the race. And Democrats, this is the big one, they cannot agree on what to do. I can't emphasize that one enough. They cannot agree on what to do to get Joe Biden out of the race. The problem is they need a plan. Do they have a compressed open primary? Do they have an open convention? Do they go with Kamala Harris? Do the leaders find someone else? The fact that there's not universal consensus on going with Kamala Harris is a big red flag that the Democratic leaders know Kamala Harris is not a strong candidate. That can't be emphasized enough. If Kamala Harris were the strong candidate they publicly say she is, the Democrats would get on page very quickly that Joe Biden needs to go and everyone needs to rally around Kamala Harris, that we are now 2 weeks removed from that presidential debate and the Democrats can't rally to Kamala Harris is actually a damning indictment on Kamala Harris's ability to be the nominee and their belief in Kamala Harris as the nominee. They would have already done it. But you still have some who want an open primary. You have some who want an open convention. You have some who want the party elders to pick someone else. But they're not talking about Kamala Harris. And now you have polling from NPR and Marist, a good pollster, that says Joe Biden's actually in the lead. It's probably an outlier. Remember, every 20 times a pollster takes a poll, the poll is going to be an outlier. Maybe this is Marist's time. I don't know. But it gives Joe Biden ammunition to stay in the race. And the idea that the donors are going to keep their $90 million on the sidelines is nonsense. If Joe Biden digs in his heels and says, I'm not going anywhere, he's not going anywhere. They can't make him go. What's wild, though, is the juxtaposition of two stories. I gotta read you. Where's the story now? I just had it. From the New York Times. The New York Times, yeah, Stuart Thompson at the New York Times. Here's the headline today. How Biden's stumbles collided with a right-wing conspiracy theory. Some far-right commentators have long argued that Democratic Party elites were plotting to replace Joe Biden. Now those commentators say they'll be proven correct. For years, far-right commentators have floated a conspiracy theory that Democratic Party elites were secretly plotting to replace Biden on the ticket. Suddenly, Mr. Biden being replaced by another Democrat seems like a distinct possibility. There's no evidence that the chaotic events following June's debates were planned or that Mr. Biden's halting performance was intentional, but the crisis over his candidacy has right-wing influencers heralding the moment as a conspiracy theory turned true. Now look, I've said all along that the plan was for Biden to either put some distance between him and the next debate if it was bad or consolidate support. That's true. That is true. The reason he did the debate 2 weeks ago was not to make it easy for him to go away, because if that was the case, he would be gone by now, and he hasn't. He's dug in his heels. But for the New York Times to run this, and at the same time, the story is there is now a committee to unelect the president, is remarkable. This is from Axios. This loose anti-Biden network is growing by the day and is circulating polls showing Democrats would shoot from sure losers to big winners with a new ticket. Some donors are talking of a massive financial commitment to any non-Biden presidential ticket. This is a group of very concerned Democrats, veterans of the Obama and Clinton administrations. They are plotting hourly to get Joe Biden to withdraw quickly. The problem is that the more these people become the face of getting Joe Biden out of the ticket, the problem is that Joe Biden will dig in his heels because Joe Biden himself has long suspected the Clinton and Obama people did not want him to be president. It's deeply helpful. And then what's the list? Former Obama aides, former Clinton aides, some elected Democrats, swing state Democrats, the George Clooney-led donor class, including Reed Hastings of Netflix and Endeavor CEO Ari Emanuel, Rahm Emanuel's brother, late-night liberals like Stephen Colbert, the New York Times opinion page, and they're all a bunch of white people, all a bunch of white people. All of that gives Joe Biden every incentive he needs to stay in the race. How is it these people are so incompetent at what they need to be competent at? Back to the phones. Let's see. Philip, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show, Philip. How are you?
Hey, Eric. How you doing, sir?
Good.
Listen, as a black man raised in Atlanta in the South, in Georgia, I am so sick and tired of the Democrats just automatically assuming that they should get our vote. I mean, it just drives me crazy. In my community, around the dinner table, the biggest argument that you will have against Trump is that, oh, he's a racist. He doesn't like black people. Well, before he ran for president, black people loved Donald Trump. All the entertainers, from Jesse Jackson to Al Sharpton, they were all pro-Trump. What happened?
There you go. Look, you're absolutely right. The only thing that happened is he got an R next to his name. Yeah, listen, okay. You make a great point here. And the fact that Democrats just think that the black vote is theirs and they don't have to do anything is one of the biggest bits of condemnation of the whole setup.
To have an 80-year-old man like Joe Biden tell me that if I don't vote for him, I'm not black. You're defining
right.
My blackness. As an 80-year-old white man raised in Scranton, you're at very least you're prejudiced against black people just by your upbringing. I would just have to say that.
Look, you get to say that, Phil. I don't get to say that. You get to say it.
I can say the things that you cannot say, sir. That's why I called, because I'm the voice. I'm going to say the things that you're going to get put off air for saying. You know what I'm saying?
I am glad to have you here. You know, you're today. You're like my Mr. Snerdly, the black voice who says the things that I can't say. I appreciate it. And you know, you're right. And it's got to be offensive to a lot of the black community in the same way it is like pro-lifers get taken advantage of by the GOP. What are you going to do? You're going to vote Democrat? Same thing with black voters and the Democrats. What are you going to do? You're going to vote for Republicans? Well, the black unemployment rate under Donald Trump was actually far less than under Joe Biden.
Listen, we did excellent under Donald Trump. Donald Trump is uncouth. He doesn't know how to speak. He's not a politician, but he is good for business. He knows how to run a country.
Yeah, you're right, and he's got the record to prove it, and the Democrats just don't seem to quite appreciate the fact that more and more people realize that. Philip, I got to leave it there. Thanks for the phone call. Y'all, I got to tell you about Old Glory Bank because they're in the mortgage business now. They can do VA, conventional, and FHA loans. If you send a friend to Old Glory Bank for their loan, they make their own lending decisions, and they close quick, by the way. You can get $250 and a signed, autographed John Rich Old Glory Bank hat. Now, your friend gets home ownership and a mortgage. You get $250 and a signed John Rich autographed hat from Old Glory Bank. The American dream is partly about home ownership, and Old Glory Bank makes it possible, and you're not going to get the rigmarole that you will with a lot of places. Again, they do VA, conventional, and FHA loans at competitive rates. They've got quick closing times. If you're in the market for a home, Old Glory Bank, great place to do business with. You can find out more at oldglorybank.com. You can also get a great checking or savings account with them. No fee checking, no fee savings at oldglorybank.com. Terms and conditions apply. Old Glory Bank stands with you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 834337. OldGloryBank.com.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Hang on. Is that right? Yeah, cooking. join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Greetings, welcome. Yes, it's an open line Friday, 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. Happy to have you, although I don't have enough time here, so be patient with me, those of you on the phones, and I will get to you. Operators are standing by, so to speak. We do have much more we got to talk about, including I got to really get to all of the news. There's so much news out there that we haven't covered because we've all been talking about the Biden stuff, which has dominated the news everywhere. And I can't really say I blame it. I mean, it's big news. But we also have the stock market on the verge of record highs. There's increasing interest in interest rates coming down in October, far sooner than possible, maybe as soon as September, I think. And then, of course, there's all the other green news out there that I just love to talk about, that turns out a growing number of Americans, and I mentioned this, there was a news article a couple of weeks ago that I talked about where a growing number of Americans who bought electric cars are now trying to get out of their electric cars, and they're having problems getting out of their electric cars because nobody wants them, and they got payments, and the trade-in isn't worth it. It's just kind of funny to watch this setup. Is now there are people, like, I got a buddy, my CFO for my company has a Tesla, and he loves it because when people walk past his car, the car farts, and his kids can watch Netflix on the big screen. He loves his Tesla. He does. But most Americans who own cars now, something like 62% of Americans who have an electric car are having buyer's remorse and want to go back to a gas vehicle. And in large part, it's this. This is the number one reason. They feel like they have had to change their driving habits for their car instead of their car being able to conform to their driving habits. And now there's a new thing that federal regulators are looking at that Europeans have just forced into vehicles, a speed regulator. They got the breathalyzer. Now they want the speed regulator. Tell you about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you about Omaha Steaks because it's a great time to grill outside. In fact, I'll be grilling this weekend. And Omaha Steaks, they've got great deals. In fact, you go to omahasteaks.com, you get the Hotter Than Fire grill pack, and at checkout, you put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K, as your discount code, and you get $10 off. It's great savings for great value. And not only that, they've got so much more. They've got sides, they've got desserts, they have steaks, they got seafood, they've got chicken, they've got pork. You can load up your cart, minimum order required, but at checkout, use the promo code Eric, E-R-I-C-K, and you will save $10. It's great savings, and you get 100% satisfaction guarantee. All of this at omahasteaks.com. If I can recommend, get the bacon-wrapped fillets. My wife loves the caramel apple tartlets. They're individually handmade. You can just pop them in the oven one at a time, bake them whenever you need a dessert, scoop of ice cream. My wife loves them that way. Nice little sweet treat for her. But I love the bacon-wrapped fillets, and the little mini chocolate cakes are great, too. Also, the shrimp. The shrimp are great, and it all comes to your door. Throw it in your freezer, then grill it when you want. OmahaSteaks.com. The discount code is Eric at checkout. Use E-R-I-C-K. Save $10 on the Hotter Than Fire grill pack at OmahaSteaks.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat. Literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.